In our remaining minutes together tonight, I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at two verses of Scripture in this particular passage as we continue our series on learning when to speak and when to be silent. I read this quote the other day by an evangelist who wrote the following: "One of the greatest attacks of the enemy is to make you busy, to make you hurried, to make you noisy, to make you distracted, to fill the people of God and the church of God with so much noise and activity that there is no room for prayer. There is no room for being alone with God. There is no room for silence. There is no room for meditation." That is a profound statement. This individual travels all over the world. When he was involved with missionary endeavors in Peru for over 20 years, came back to the States and became an evangelist. But he indicates something that I think is very forgotten today. We're so busy. We're so noisy. We're running all the time, and we don't have time to meditate. We don't have time to be silent because we're so involved with the noise of this world. It's interesting to me that in Psalm 40, if you go and read the first four or five verses of that passage, it talks about the noisy pit, all right, that the people of this world fall into, a pit of noise. And I think that's where a lot of people live. We just got noise all the time. And we like it that way. We like it that way. Because it means I'm busy. I've got something going on. But for the Christian, that's not what God has for us. God wants us to be able to come aside and get along with Him and be quiet and listen to Him. Do I hear an amen? To listen to Him. Now, how do we hear from Him? We hear from Him in His Word and His Holy Spirit teaching us in His Word. Well, that means you got to put other things aside. You got to put aside all the busyness. Some people never let grass grow under their feet. They're running all the time. I was talking to a fellow last night, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "One thing I like to do is come up here to Gospel Projects and sit in my truck." He said, "I come up here a little bit early before practice, and there's nobody talking. It's me in my truck. I send my child with their soccer ball outside the truck." Okay, and he said, "I just like the quiet sitting in my truck." I said, I understand that. I get that. I said, "The older I get, the more of it I want because we have a lot of noise, do we not, in this world?" God wants us to come aside and to allow growth and maturity in the Christian life. And that only comes through quiet periods. It doesn't come through all the noise. It doesn't come through all the hubbub. It comes from quiet periods alone with God where He can just teach us. In Luke chapter 23, our Lord was being accused of horrible things. There are three different groups in which our Lord appeared before whenever He was brought in by the Roman soldiers. Three different groups. We first of all learned that He came before the Sanhedrin. We learned about that in Matthew 26:63. We studied that last time. And what was His response? Jesus held His peace, we're told there in that passage. He held His peace. He only spoke whenever He was asked the question, "Answerest thou not? Answerest thou nothing?" And He said, "We want to hear of thee. Art thou the Son of God?" And what did Jesus say? Just a few words. "Thou sayest so." All right. Then He was taken before Pontius Pilate. And there in Mark chapter 15 and verse 3, the chief priests brought all kinds of accusations against Jesus Christ. And the Bible says He answered nothing. He answered nothing. Eloquent silence. And Pilate said, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Okay? He marveled at the silence. And then we find here in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 23, verse 8, he appears before Herod. Herod was the king of that particular region. By the way, in Luke chapter 13, the Lord Jesus said of Herod that he was that fox. Isn't that interesting? Here's the one that he called that fox, and he has to appear before him 10 chapters later here where Herod, and he, by the way, Herod was excited to see him. Notice this, verse 8, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. All right? Is he wanting to hear the truth? Is he wanting to hear a word from God? No. He wants a miracle performed in his presence, so he'd have something to talk about. Another thing that he could put on his mantra, I have seen this Jesus, and he performed a miracle in my presence. That's all it was about. Verse 9, then he questioned with him, notice this about Herod, with many words. But he, that is Jesus, answered him nothing. So we have many words on one side coming from Herod, and Jesus on this side answered him nothing. Didn't say a thing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod made friends together, for before they were enmity between themselves. Here are these two men that hated each other, but after having both interviewed Jesus, they became friends. Isn't that interesting? Now, notice the point here. Many words from Herod, no words from Jesus. Now, why did Jesus not defend himself? Why did he not rebuke? Why did he not repel the arguments that were being made? Let me tell you something, folks. This is one of the great lessons about our Lord. Sometimes it's better just to be quiet and let the fools speak. Let them talk. Let them go at it. Notice the response. Pilate marveled at the silence of Jesus. You see, he had been had had many cases, I'm sure, brought before him, and he had heard people just go off and go on. And he loved that hubbub of the activity of them, you know, retorts and rebukes and going back and forth. He liked that exchange. But Jesus didn't give him the entertainment. You see, a lot of times whenever we speak up for ourselves, all we're doing is showing that we really don't understand. We're already going to go to the cross, so to speak. Anything that Jesus would have said would have made no difference. So he didn't give them the satisfaction. You know where that comes from? Wisdom and maturity. Wisdom and maturity. You get that with years. But he would sit there. Whenever it was discipline time, he would sit in his chair with his arms crossed. And he wouldn't say a word. Whenever you came into his office, you sat in the chair when he invited you to. And he just sat and looked at him. And you know what the normal response was? Coming out of the boys. All the excuses, all the things. I was unjustly charged. He would just sit there silently. And after they were all done talking, he was still silent. Sometimes he would shuffle papers. Sometimes he'd write something down or whatever. And then finally he would say something. That'll be 25 demerits. Or that'll be 10 demerits. And then he would open his Bible. He said, I heard you speak. Let me just talk to you for just a moment about not speaking so much. And he would give them a lesson on silence. Said, I don't believe for a moment that you were targeted or that you were unjustly accused, because I've already checked into your case and I've talked to several people and I already know. See, he did his homework. It wasn't the first time he had heard about this. He did his homework, but he let them talk. Let them just blurt out everything they wanted. Just let them drain. And in that silence, he allowed them to tell their whole story and share their heart and talk, and he didn't say a word. Maturity. Time. John Ashbrook is another pastor that hardly ever said a word. People that had him for an administrator up there at Mentor Christian School said he would come and he would handle discipline situations. He would come in from time to time if the administrator was sick or whatever, handle discipline, and hardly ever said a word. He just let them sit there and stew. Are you going to say anything, Pastor? He wouldn't respond. Sometimes they thought that he wasn't paying attention, but he was. He wanted them to allow the silence to do its work. Do you know that silence sometimes can scream in a person's ear? You ever heard of the silent treatment? Anybody? Are y'all awake out there? Okay, good. Just checking. All right. The silent treatment. Yeah. Women are experts at that, right? Mr. Ropeger says. Yeah, after 60 years of marriage. They're an expert. Man, that was a nice compliment you paid to your wife there. Thank you, Mr. O. Yeah, they're experts at that. Uh-oh, I've done something. How many husbands have said that over the years, okay? Put your hands up. Every one of your hands should have popped right up, except maybe for Brian and Michael and some of those that are just married. They haven't gotten to that stage yet. It's coming, son. Just letting you know. Yeah, it's coming. The silent treatment. You didn't pay attention to something that should have been paid attention to, right? And you were supposed to catch a hint and you didn't catch it. So you get the silent treatment. Let me tell you something. Sometimes silence has something more powerful to say than running your mouth. Oh, how we love to run our mouths. We like to just tell everything we know and things we don't know. When the best thing to do sometimes, course of action, is just to be still and be quiet. You will never learn what God wants you to learn while you're talking. Sometimes you just need to open your Bible and just sit quietly and let God start doing the talking through His Word. I have learned some of the greatest lessons of life with my mouth shut and my ears open. There have been times when I've walked into this pulpit and I had a different message to preach, and God just said, I don't want you to preach that. I want you to preach something else. I said, Lord, I don't have any notes for that. But the Lord has just impressed upon me something else. And the Lord has just, what am I going to do? Well, you just let the Lord take care of that. We live in a day and age where everything is scripted beyond understanding. Do you understand that these scripted politicians are out there with all their little minions behind them, and they've scripted everything that the politician's going to say, and not one lick of it's true? Do you understand that? Wouldn't you just love for somebody just to tell the truth and speak from the heart truth? How many of you yearn for statesmen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had some statesmen that would just speak the truth instead of lying all the time? Wouldn't it be nice just to have some silence? We're living in a day where silence, the computers are going all the time. The iPhones are going all the time. We're talking so much and we're wording. And we just need to just stop and go put it down. And maybe go grab a book and read. Well, my heart's been blessed. I've been reading some books. I've gotten several over the last several months that I've been working through. And it's good just to put the phone down. Well, you've got to answer my text immediately. No, I don't. I know everybody's offended right now. Everybody's offended. Is it okay not to answer a text immediately? Well, I called you and you didn't answer the phone. Well, guess what? The world doesn't revolve around each one of us. And sometimes people are not available. And some people don't want to be available. Sometimes I do that. Okay? That's all right. This instant world has taken away our silence, our ability to just stop and meditate. And we need to spend more time in this book meditating and tune out all the noise. All the noise. Tune it out. Get serious about this book. God has something to say to you. But he's not going to shout over all the racket. How did he respond to his servant? He was up on the mountain and all the noise and the thunder and the lightning and the earth quaking and so on. And then a still small voice came. That's when God spoke. We're impressed by the noise. We need to be impressed by the silence. Our Lord was silent against his accusers. Anything he would have said would have been used against him. And so he kept silent. And Pilate marveled. I don't know what about the Sanhedrin were doing. They were too busy working up more arguments. Herod seems to have been a jerk. He didn't get his miracle. So what does he do? He said, "Dress him up." They started mocking and making fun of the Jewish man, the carpenter's son, mocking and making fun. But Pilate, he kind of stepped back and said, "You know what? Maybe there's nothing wrong with this guy." So he washed his hands. Y'all do with him what you want to. I wash my hands of the whole thing. But you can't do that, can you? But he marveled at the silence of our Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. We live in a day of a lot of words, a lot of talking, a lot of noise. Take time to be silent and let God speak. There's something to be said for that, and we need to find that time. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time spent together tonight. We thank you, Father, for your word. What a marvelous response of our Lord, though he's being accused of all kinds of terrible things, none of them true. He could have easily gotten angry and began to retort and defend himself and shout them down, but that was not how he wanted to respond. He was quiet. He practiced peace and silence. He didn't get ruffled up. And at least one individual marveled at it. He got it to some degree. I pray that you would help us, Lord, not to be ruffled by this world. There's going to be a lot of false things said about us, a lot of lies, a lot of things that aren't true. And it's easy to get angry. It's easy. All of us have experienced this, myself included. It's easy to get angry and upset, try to defend ourselves. But dear Father, I pray that you would teach us from your word that sometimes it's better just to be silent and let the silence do our speaking for us. Father, dismiss us now with thy blessing. Watch over your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.